fun, enjoyment. We are planning another fundraiser for the church. Amen. And I pray that everyone will put their whole self in and be involved in that as well, because it is truly for a good cause and to fix the lower half of the roof. Amen. So I'm not going to preach about the fundraiser, folks. Amen. Amen. But I thank God for the people that participated in the fundraiser. I'm not going to preach about them. But I thank God we had fun. That's how I'm going to leave it. Amen. Acts chapter 16. Amen. And when you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. Those of you who are looking on it by your phone, if you're buffering, let me know. I'll pause for a minute or two. Or look on with your neighbor who has a Bible. Amen. Acts chapter 16. I'm reading from the King James Version, beginning at the 16th verse. And it came to pass, as we went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up to gather against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, and the command to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Amen for the reading of God's word. Amen. I had a lot of grass to cut there. Amen. There was a lot of grass I had to cut. Normally, I don't like to read that many scriptures, but for the sake of you understanding of what's going on here, I had to do that. My subject is still dealing with praise. Amen. Amen. I just want you to understand what it would do for you. Sometimes people need to understand, you know, and all you're getting, get an understanding of what it would do for you. But what I would like to ask the question this morning is, who do you turn to when you're sick? If you're a child or a single adult, you may turn to your mom or you may turn to your dad. If you're married, you normally turn to your spouse. No matter who you turn to, eventually you will turn to the doctor. Amen. What will your doctor do? Your doctor checks out everything. He take your temperature, look you inside the mouth, check your heart. They might do some blood work to find out what's going on with you. So who do you turn to if your bathroom shower is broken or your sink is clogged? You call a plumber. They come to your house and look the shower over and look at the sink, and they diagnose what the problem is. Who do you turn to when your computer system is going slow and you got a virus? You will call somebody that's in IT, you know, that has some experience in that area. Who do you call when you have issue with your car? If your car is not acting right, your car is not doing what it's supposed to do, do you call a plumber? Do you call a hairstylist? Or do you go to a mechanic? My point is, when you have a problem, you need to know who to go to. A lot of us don't know who to go to. Who do you turn to when you have a personal problem? Like when you're not feeling your best, or there's trouble on every hand, or you're in a bad situation, where do you go for your answers? If you don't know, let me tell you about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas had everything going wrong that day. We think we had it bad sometimes, but you have to understand they had it bad. But when was the last time that your life was threatened for doing the will of God? Is what you have to come to the conclusion of. Paul and Silas had a bad day, stripped and beaten with rods, humiliated and punished. When was the last time that happened to you? There are times in our lives where we need God to make a way out of no way for us. No matter what the situation or the mess you're stuck in or experiencing in your life, if you have the right spirit and the right attitude, you can experience God's deliverance. But it depends on your attitude. The swiftness and surety of your deliverance starts with how you respond to hard times and difficult situations. What Paul did, what did Paul and Silas do? They found themselves in a really terrible situation. How could these two men praise God in their circumstances? How could they praise God while they're going through this situation? Paul and Silas understood what many of us seem to forget. Praising God does not depend on your circumstances. Both of them began praising God out loud, so loud that the other prisoners heard them and were listening in. Amen. Bad situation, but despite of what they were going through, despite of what they were feeling, they still had enough energy to praise the Lord. Paul and Silas weren't singing and praising God for being in the mess. They were praising him in spite of the mess. They were praising their deliverer. That's who they were praising. Don't you know God heard the praises and took pleasure in what he heard? It ain't no different than when you tell somebody you look good or you're fine. They are taking great pleasure in what you are saying. So there's going to be a response. I don't know what kind of response, but there will be a response. So basically what I'm saying is when you sing praises to God, God will hear and God is listening and God will give a response. Amen. So we need to understand, we need to know God is listening because he delivered them, did he not? He delivered them, so God is listening to your praises. When Paul and Silas began to praise God and sing in the midst of that prison, they were using spiritual weapons. Amen. In case you didn't know it, praying and praising God is a form of weapon. Amen. It is what you use when you're going through something. We need to get in the habit of praying and praising God. Daniel prayed three times. He had a habit of praying three times a day. So when he was thrown in the lion's den, the lions could not touch him because he had already sent up some prayer for his situation. You don't have time to figure out how to pray when you're in a bad situation. You don't have time to remember how the pastor said or how the minister said or how the deacon say pray. You in a bad situation, I pray that you already got some up in heaven on your behalf. When things go wrong in some people's life, they are in the habit of praying and some are in the habit of cursing. Let me pause there for a moment. Some people, when they get in a bad situation, they're in a habit of praising God and praying. But then there's other folks that are in a habit of cussing. Because when they get in a situation, they call on you know what. All right? I'll give you the initials, MF. They call on that. That's what they do, but the praisers call on the Lord. So what will you do? Some people can only shout when they have money in their pockets. It takes faith to shout when the doctor gives you a bad report or when you lost your job or when your back is against the wall. And that's exactly when you need to offer a sacrifice of praise. You are a child of God, and you can praise your way out of your trouble if you know how. Don't ever let the devil steal your joy. Don't ever lose your shout. Deliverance is yours. All you got to do is open up your mouth and begin to praise God. Turn your focus on God, not on your situation. See, we have a tendency to focus on ourselves, and our praying becomes nothing more than complaining to God. When we are in trouble, we should praise the Lord more than ever before. Our praise should turn our attention away from the present situation and problems and turn our focus towards the Lord. There's nothing wrong with telling God about your problems, but we should be talking to our problems about our God. Amen. Nothing that he is, we need to know that he is a problem solver and that you're standing on the promises no matter the situation or no matter the circumstances. We need to understand that the Bible says about a man should always pray. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 and chapter 4 and verse 7 and verse 4 and 7 speaks about the power of praise. It says that in the Lord always rejoice. Rejoice always in the Lord. And it said it again, rejoice. We need to understand that we need to rejoice in the Lord. When you focus on your problems, you are headed for a depressed, stressed out condition. But when you focus in on God, who is the solution to every problem, you're headed for peace, joy, and life full of victory. Praise will make your faith stronger. When you praise God, you are praising him concerning the things that you know about him. Amen. And how do you know? Because God has revealed himself to you through his word. Amen. You know about somebody when you need some money and you went to them and they gave you some money. So what do? When you down and out again, you're going to go to them for some money again. Why? Because they came through for you before. So you know that they will come through for you again. We need to have that same type of habit when we go through something in this life. We need to know that if God came through for us before, we need to be able to take what we are going through and go back to God again and let God deliver us from our situation yet again. Why? Because he has proven himself yet before. Praise has a way of pushing you into the spiritual realm. That's where worship is. You can only worship him in the spirit realm. According to John 4:24, it says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So in other words, you need to get your praise on in order to get into the realm of God, because God is a spirit. And if you want to tap into what heaven has, you need to get into the spirit. We have to see that praising is the way to overcome spiritual attacks. Satan's greatest attack are not so much aimed at prayers. Don't lose me here. Pay attention. His greatest attacks are aimed at praise. Now, that does not mean Satan does not attack prayers. The moment a Christian prays, Satan begins to attack. It is very easy to talk to people, but the moment one prays, Satan comes with problems. He will make one feel that it is hard to pray. This is a fact, but Satan does not attack just prayer. He also attacked the praise of God's children. The ultimate goal of Satan is to stop all praises to God. Whenever we praise, Satan flees. Therefore, Satan hates our praising the most. He will use all the strength to stop our praising. God's children are foolish if they stop praising when they suffer under adverse environments. Paul and Silas were praising God inside the jail cell. Their praise broke loose all the jail doors. We need to understand that if we are going through something, if we would just open up our mouths and begin to thank God and begin to praise God, even if it don't make sense, even if it don't look like you're winning, if you would just open up your mouth and just begin to praise the Lord, things will be open for you. As you can see, when they began to sing praises to God, the jail doors opened. That is a hint to let you know that doors will come open for you. When you start opening up your mouth to praise the Lord, all God wants is praise. He's not asking for much. Not only that, the doors were open twice in Acts. Once they were open to Peter, the other one was to Paul. In the case, the church prayed fervently for him, and the angels opened the door and brought him out. In Paul's case, he and Silas sang and praised to God. All the doors opened and the chains broke. The jailers believed in the Lord on that day. Matter of fact, the jailers' whole family was saved on that day. What you do can save somebody else, in case you didn't know that. So when you don't want to open up your mouth and praise the Lord, you know, I thank God that there are people in my family, despite what they went through, despite the lies that people said about them, I'm glad that they kept praising God despite of what people said about them. What you need to understand, because that's what got me saved. That's what my testimony is. When I saw them going through, I was able to say, now I understand the scripture, because I got something to look at to go with what I'm reading. Y'all follow what I'm saying? The jailer
had something to go on. When he saw Paul and Silas singing, and Paul said, oh, don't hurt yourself, man. Don't hurt yourself. We all are here. Everybody is here. Everybody's present and accounted for. You ain't got to hurt yourself. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's what we need people to be asking us. See, it's one thing to come to church and put on your church suit and put on your Sunday best. But man, Monday, how you look on Monday? How you look on Tuesday? How you look on Wednesday? Y'all understand what I'm saying? If you want somebody to get saved, they need to walk up to you and say, what must I do to be saved? I need to serve your God. Because I know what they're saying on my job, but I still see you rejoicing. Paul and Silas offer a sacrifice of praise in the jail. Listen to this. The wounds on their bodies were not yet healed, but yet they were praising God. Their pain was not yet soothed. Sometimes we got to feel our best before we can get up and sing, or before we can usher, or before we can even come to church. I'm just telling you what people act. But they were in wherever they were praising God in the jail. Their feet were in the stocks, and they were shut in the inner jail of the Roman Empire. What was there to be joyful about? I mean, come on, you're in this bad situation. People get looked at funny, and I ain't coming to church no more. Why? Because so-and-so didn't speak to me. Are you kidding me? So-and-so didn't speak to me. She just looked at me funny, or he just looked at me funny. But I ain't coming back to that church no more. You mean to tell me that you're going to let this person stop you from coming to church, stop you from praising God, as good as God has been to you? Who woke you up this morning? Who put food on your table? Who delivered you out of your situation? It wasn't that person that was looking at you. What was there to sing about? I mean, they're in this bad situation. Why should they even praise God? Oh, but they remember how good God is. They wasn't looking at their mess, but they were looking at their Savior. They were looking at their deliverer. They were rejoicing in the Lord. Paul and Silas saw that God was still sitting on the throne. God was still in control. God didn't change. Paul and Silas themselves might have changed. Their environment might have changed. But their feelings for the Lord didn't change. We need people that are true and faithful with the Lord. Paul and Silas were praying and singing and praising God. This kind of praises arise out of pain and loss. It is a sacrifice of praise. See, let me tell you something. When we tell people to fast, you know, around the first of the year, we say, you got to sacrifice. And folks be like, well, yeah, okay, all right. You know, so I'd be like, man, I'm giving up something that I love. Something that's going to hurt. But some people, you say, well, when you know that somebody loves something the most, you say, well, get it up. Oh, I know if I can do that. But then it's not a sacrifice. If it's not a sacrifice, brother, let me tell you something. You're not doing anything but just going without. For however long, 21 days. But let me tell you something. When it's a sacrifice, call somebody on day one, day two, day three. Let me tell you something. They are going through something. But despite what they're going through, they remember the purpose. They remember the reason that they set out to do this. They're trying to get connected, trying to make sure that they have the power that they need to do God's work. Let me say this to you. Let me say this to you. Prayer and praise must never be separated. Never be separated. Prayer and praise are the two wings by which our souls mount us into the heavens. if either one is neglected, we fail to mount up with wings as eagles. Paul and Silas sang hymns. They sang praises to God. They were brought back by God to the point where the jail, the shame, the pain were no longer a problem to them. Praising God makes you triumphant in battles. Praising God brings to your aid all the resources of heaven. How many of you like the resources? Resources will bless you. The angels of God recognize the sound of praises. And so therefore, then they'll rush to your side to give you the victory that you need. Praising God brings the shout of victory in the midst of the battle. Praising God turns the battle into a rout of the enemy. In the battle, in the time of Jehoshaphat, when the king and people humbled themselves and sought God's face, they believed the promise of God and marched into battle with the singers, praising God in front of the battle troops. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set an ambush. Y'all know what an ambush is, right? The Lord set an ambush on the people that was messing with them. Let me tell you this. When you sing praises to God and you just praising God despite of what the person next to you is doing or what your neighbor is doing or what anybody's doing, when you set your eyes on praising the Lord, God will send an ambush on your situation. And all you got to do is just go and recover what is left. Praise sets an ambush for the devil. No wonder he flees at the sound of praise. He does not like that. It's like I told you, when you go on your job or when you're having a conversation with somebody, if you want to know who the devils are, start talking about the Lord. You'll not be, I don't want to hear that. Because Satan does not want to hear anything about the Lord. He don't want to have anything to do with God. So when you start praising God, Satan is not going to stay around. So if you want to drive the enemy out of your home or out of this home, you need to praise God, because Satan will not dwell in there. That's how you can get them out. Y'all remember, let me tell you this about Joseph. Y'all remember Joseph? It's a wonderful story. Wonderful story. But there's something that we need to understand that cannot be denied about Joseph, because the scripture makes it clear. Joseph was chosen by God. I'm still on praise. I just want to get you to a point where you understand what I'm saying here. Joseph was chosen by God. Joseph was anointed by God. Joseph had a destiny given by God. Joseph was favored by God. Joseph was favored by his earthly father. Joseph was with, God was with Joseph. Now, picture that being yourself, okay? That sounds like a winning combination. Judging from the criteria, it would look like Joseph had it made. It would seem as though he was living the life. But when we read the Bible, we find out that this same Joseph, who had everything going for him, who was anointed by God, who was favored by his earthly father, who has so many advantages, one day Joseph found himself in a pit. Amen? If somebody told you, when you became a Christian, that all your problems would be over and that you would never be hurt again and you would never cry again and you would never suffer again, don't talk to them no more. Because they talking about some foolishness. Okay? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. The point I'm trying to make is that Christians have problems too. Christians get sick. Christians get in debt. Christians get divorced. Christians get their hearts broken. Christians get in places that they shouldn't be. Sometimes you fall in. Sometimes you jump in. Sometimes you pushed in. But regardless, you in. You in the pit. Amen. But you don't have to stay in the pit. Because dreams die in the pit, which is what Satan is trying to do. Ministries die in the pit. Gifts die in the pits. Callings die in the pits. Marriages die in the pit. All kind of stuff die in the pit. Let me tell you this. Reuben was responsible for Joseph being put in the pit. It was Reuben that suggested that they throw Joseph in the pit. Genesis chapter 37:22. You can read it for Bible study. We don't know what happened, but whatever it was, we know this. Reuben was there when Joseph was thrown into the pit, but Reuben was not there when he was lifted out of the pit. Follow me now. The point is, Reuben was surprised. Reuben was shocked because he saw him go into the pit. He saw him struggling and begging to be delivered from the pit. But now he's looking into that same pit, expecting to see pitiful Joseph. Amen. Full of fear and confusion, stressing and crying and begging to be delivered. But Joseph wasn't there. In Genesis chapter 37:29, and Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. What I'm trying to say is, God is getting ready to do something that is going to blow some people away. There are some people who say, there are some people who saw you get put into the pit. There are some people that even help you get into the pit. And they watch you struggle, pushing and scratching and clawing, trying to make your way out of the pit. When they left you, you were in the pit. The last time they saw you, you were in the pit. You're a mess. But I came to prophesy to you right now, to let you know that you're coming out of the pit. And I'm not just teaching. I'm prophesying. Because you need to understand that right now, some of you are in the pit. There's some people that put you in the pit. But when they return, you are out of the pit. I don't know what your pit is. It may be a pitiful addition. It may be a pitiful situation. It may be a pit of marriage problems that looks so deep and so dark and impossible that you feel like giving up. It may be a spiritual pit and you just don't feel God like you used to. And you're dry and discouraged. You don't feel like praising him. Let me tell you this. Pits come in all different shapes and sizes. But what I would like for you to understand is that I'm prophesying to you, and you need to say to somebody that I spent my last night in the pit. I'm not going in the pit anymore. I'm coming out of the pit. The Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Reuben came back to the pit where he last saw Joseph. Let me say this. But Joseph wasn't there. And see, this is when people think they know you. Think you're going to stay down and out. Think you're going to stay in your pitiful situation. But I came to tell you that the Lord's got a calling on your life. That the Lord is not going to keep you in your pitiful situation. See, there are some people that think they know you pretty good. They thought they knew that you were, you know, they thought they knew how you would come out of this. They thought you would stay in this situation. They didn't understand who your daddy was. They even talked about your pitiful situation to other folks on the job, talking about how you in this pitiful situation. But let me tell you something. You need to say to them, that was yesterday. Yesterday, I was in the pit. Yesterday, I looked like I was going to die in the pit. But you got to tell them, say, I heard a word from the Lord. The word from the Lord said, don't die in the pit. Don't quit dreaming in the pit. Don't quit believing in the pit. Don't quit trusting me in the pit. Expect me to do the unexpected in the pit. It looked like Joseph was going to die in his pitiful situation, in his pitiful circumstances. But let me tell you something. In a matter of minutes, Joseph was up out of the solid pit. So what I came to say to you is that you need to understand that God is getting ready to turn it around for you. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. I don't know who he's going to use to do it for him. But I know that God is going to do it. Why? Because he did it for me. All you got to do is look in the mirror. I just came to give you some encouraging words this morning. I just came to build up your soul. I just came to tell you about what a wonderful Savior we saved. I just wish you knew him like I know him. Just like he turned things around for Joseph. Just like he turned things around for Job. Just like he turned things around for Daniel. Just like he turned things around for the three Hebrew boys. Just know that God got you in sight. He's focused in. And he's getting ready to turn it around for you. From Genesis to Revelation, God has been known to turn things around. I've seen thieves been turned around, liars being turned around, all kind of adulterers been turned around, fornicators being turned around, alcoholics being turned around, drug addicts being turned around. We need to understand that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, new things are coming. So you can't tell me God can't turn things around. When people start reminding you of your past, you need to say that was BC. It was before Christ. But now look at me now. Have an attitude about it as well. Say, oh, you talking about BC? Because that was before Christ. But now I'm in Christ. That's the difference. See, it's a difference before Christ. Everything you're saying, I ain't gonna deny that. I ain't gonna deny none of that. But what I will tell you, now that I'm in Christ, there's a difference now that I'm in Christ. Now I want you to see something. Suddenly, don't you like the word suddenly? Suddenly, God can do it. Suddenly, sometimes we got to wait for a progress report, but God can do it. Suddenly, God don't have to wait on anybody. God can do it. Suddenly. Why? Because he's a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He don't have to go and consult a council. He don't have to go and try to get an appointment. God comes. One minute Joseph was in the pit. One minute he was in darkness. One minute it was a terminal situation. One minute it looked like the end. And suddenly, everything changed. Suddenly, he was standing in the sunshine. Suddenly, in one minute, In 1 minute, God turned it all around for him. So I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. I'm just prophesying. I'm giving a word that God has given to me. Now, I never really called myself a prophet, but this morning, I feel the Spirit of the Lord, and I'm prophesying to you. Peter fished all night, and caught nothing. But in one act of obedience, suddenly, he went from nothing to much. He went from empty nets to breaking nets. He went from empty boats to sinking boats, from loss to profit, from weeping to rejoicing, from a loser to a winner. And it happened suddenly. Let me say this. Anybody can put on a pretty praise when the battle is over. Anybody can put on one of those little pretty praise. Anybody can praise God when the sickness is healed. Anybody can praise God when the marriage is restored and the family is mended. Anybody can praise God when you've got a good retirement, money in your wallet and your money is in the bank. Anybody can praise God. But I'm telling you, it takes something to shout in the face of the devil. It takes something to praise in the face of the doctor's bad report. It takes something to shout when you don't have two nickels to rub together. It takes something when you're going through the fire to lift up your hands and your voice to praise God. Because as a true praiser, you know that God is still on the throne. So what I'm saying is that if you have the right attitude, you can experience God's deliverance. The Bible tells us to bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continuously be in my mouth. So if your praise, if the praise of the Lord is continuously being in your mouth, despite what you're going through, despite what people are saying about you, despite how you feel today, despite what people are thinking about you, let me tell you something. If you got praise in you, it's going to come out of you. And if it come out of you, you shall rejoice. See, some people, they have a problem with real praises. See, real praises get loud. Real praises get undignified. Real praises can get messy. They don't worry about their hair. They don't worry about their makeup. Real praises get real nasty. They get undignified. They get messy. You'll see them running and ain't nobody chasing them. Real praises can get offensive to pretty praises. Pretty praises know how to control their praise. Pretty praises never mess up anything. Make sure they tie is still straight. Make sure their jacket is not falling off of them. Make sure their shoes is still polished. Kind of rub it a little bit. But David's wife didn't like how he was worshiping the Lord. So David got the attitude, well, if you don't like that, let me dance out of my clothes. In other words, I'm getting ready to get ugly. God wants your praise. He wants it when it doesn't make sense. Like Paul and Silas, God wants it loud. He wants it crazy. He wants it when you're going through. God wants your praise. He inhabits the praise of his people. He wants it when you don't feel your best. Praise, you need to understand, is a weapon. You got to know how to use it. It is a weapon. It can be used to drive the enemy out. And people want to know why the enemy is still there, because you ain't saying nothing. You ain't doing anything about it. If you want something done, you got to do something about it. If you want people to stop bothering you, you got to do something about it. You want to praise God. See, let me say this. See, some people want to praise God on their own terms. They want to praise God on their own terms. You want to praise God when something big happens. You want to praise God when you feel like it. You want to praise God when it makes sense. You want to praise God moderately, conveniently, and quietly. What we need to understand is that your pride is keeping you bound. Your pride is keeping you in the pit. Your pride is keeping you from your miracles. It ain't the pastor. We take a lot of heat. We get blamed for a lot of stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. That ain't what we're doing. We praising God. Because when you don't see me, I'm praising God. You see me now. But when you don't see me, I'm worshiping, praising God. This is not just a Sunday morning thing for me. I didn't get up just to say, okay, well, today is Sunday. Let me go and find my Sunday suit. Let me go and find something to praise God in. It doesn't matter. God is not looking for professional praisers. People who recite and sing prayers and songs that have already been written, what God is looking for are men and women that have been transformed from the inside out, who really want to praise him. God is looking for praisers. If you want to be blessed, listen to me. If you want to be blessed, you got to open up your mouth. Amen. I don't know if you ever been to an auction, but I know that, you know, let me say this. I'm not going to say so much about the auction, but if you want something, don't you got to show some signs? You got to do something. I mean, even if you were at an auction, if you don't open up your mouth, they got something that you can. They letting their request be known. So when you're in the house of God, you ought to open up your mouth. You ought to show some signs. You ought to do something.
Doors of the church is now open. 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 Oh,